Today, we're going to talk about the subject, suffering. Well, I know it's been tough on Doug this summer to try to surf. He may have been suffering there at Myrtle Beach a little bit. The waves haven't been too good. Do you know anything about suffering? Do you know somebody that knows something about suffering? And how have you seen it manifested in your life and the lives of others? Is suffering going on around the world today? Have you ever asked God the question, why is there suffering? Anybody? Have you asked him this week why a certain person in your life is suffering? Anybody? Okay. Today, I won't begin to answer all the questions because we can't. In fact, probably what we're going to do is by the end of our brief time this morning, we'll end up with more questions. But the Lord will give us some answers about some things. Suffering is a universal experience. Where have you seen suffering manifested this week in your life? Doesn't have to be something directly connected to you or to your family. It could be something on the news. But it's both ends. Yes, children really get your attention. Makes me cry every time I love parades. When I go to the St. Patrick's Day Parade, Veterans Day Parade, MLK Parade, or whatever, and soldiers come marching by, and I look into the eyes of those young guys. I'm looking at guys I got shoes older than most of them that are walking and wondering how many of them are going to come back. I mean, I just weep. Now, I know when you go before the Lord and you ask the question, why? And you've done that, right? About people, about situations that you just don't understand. You say, and what you see in this whole analogy, you see on the one side of the equation all the suffering that's going on, and you can list all of them. And on the other side of it, you see, here is the Lord, and you see grace, and you see mercy, and you see love. And you ask, well, how about all these situations over here? You following me? Lord, what about those? Now, we in good company when we ask questions. Let's go to a few passages of Scripture. Turn to Psalms with me, if you will. I'm going to dance you through the psalm, just the Psalms. And how many times that the psalmist uses the word why? Okay? That is the big question, isn't it? Isn't that the big question? Why? Why is this happening? Why is it this way? Why is it going on? Let's go to the Psalm. Psalm 2, verse 1. Just keep your... And I know this is going to be frustrating people who have electronic devices, but Because this, unless you've learned to navigate this a little bit better. Psalm 2:1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? Why is that happening? Why is all the stuff happening that we see going on around us? Here's another one. Psalm chapter 10, the 10th Psalm, verse 1. He uses the why question twice. Why dost thou stand afar off, O Lord? And by the way, he uses covenant name there, O Yahweh. Why dost thou hide thyself in times of trouble? Woo! You ever ask God that question? Why does it seem like, hey, all this is going on, where are you? Okay, let's move on. The verse 13 of that same Psalm 10:13. Why has the wicked spurned God? No question. Why are the people in your life that are the wicked people, they're doing wicked things? Why are they that way? And why have they spurned you, God? They get to see the same evidence I see, right? Okay, let's move on. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry day by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night I have no rest. Yet thou art holy. O thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Would that statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, would that statement be used again? Okay. All right, need to hold on to that one. We could chase each one of these, but hold on to that one in Psalm 22 because we're going to come back to it. Okay? Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Okay. There's a question. Let me ask you this. Let's just stop and get personal for just a minute. Are there some days that it is like the tide just coming in one wave after another of things that you see and you ask the why question and you're wondering where is God in all this, and just wave after wave after wave. You have any days like that? And you wonder why? Well, second part of that 42:5, he says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help that comes from His presence." We'll come back to that one also. All right. Psalm 42:9, I'll say to the God, my rock, why hast you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then again in verse 11, he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Then go to Psalm 43, verse 2. For thou art the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You ever feel like the enemy is oppressing you? As you do battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, this unholy triumvirate, does it feel overwhelming at times? Okay. No, I'm skipping some. Psalm 44:24. Why dost thou hide thy face and forget our affliction and our oppression? Let me ask you, did Israel ever ask God any of these questions? Do you think they asked God those questions when they were down in Egypt? Of course they did. We know they did. It's recorded in Scripture. Psalm 49. Verse 5, why should I fear in days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Psalm 52, verse 1, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? All right, I keep going through the Psalms. You can go back to, do you get it? Do you feel this from the psalmist? Do you feel like you're in good company? One of the reasons why I like to read the Psalms a lot, the Psalms are these acted out prayers where the psalmist is being very honest about his emotion, about the feeling that is within him. Now, I know that there's a brand of Christianity that came up in the West. It is in no other place in the world. There is a brand of Christianity that wants to say that that just minimizes suffering and puts it out of their lives. But I want to ask you, has suffering been with the church from the beginning? Give me some examples. Stephen? How about what happened to Stephen? Stoned for telling the truth. Okay? Where else do we see suffering? From the beginning. Huh? Jesus? You know, that's why you have those, in the catacombs, you have those inscriptions. So places where they hid to meet. By the way, has it ever been eliminated? Now, throughout history, is that going on right now, by the way? Are there people in oppressed countries? All right. Any others come to mind? Pilgrims. Why did our forefathers come here? That was the primary reason, religious reason. You go back. You go to the roots of why people came to this country, and that is at the root of it. Yes, you could name other things and all, but that religious freedom, that freedom to worship the Lord, because they came out of oppression. Just a little brief history lesson here. You know, as the we tend in history to look at the. The Dark Ages, and then comes this time of the Renaissance, this time of awakening of things. But you know what drove that? What was before that? And many scholars, when I was in college, I was a history major, and they had redacted the history. They'd changed that history around. It was actually the Reformation. It was actually what God had already been doing in people's lives that brought this rediscovery of the arts, rediscovery of freedom, and that was driving all of that. That was not the Reformation was not a result, it was a cause that went before. Are you following me here? And so a rediscovery of the arts, you know, painting, sculpture, and all. What is the driving force of all that? You go back and you see it was what God was doing in these people's lives, and it was manifesting itself out. You see, when God goes to moving in a person's life, you can't stop that. Man can't stop that. And so it happened. We look at the reformers. We tend to think of Luther and Calvin and Zwingli, but then what do we see as they took the Reformation out? I don't want to chase this too far with you, but it's in context, and I'll never get a chance for months to. For you to see this and see it in its context. The Reformation went so far, you know, when the Bible was the Bible. And then it goes into the language of the people. That was something unheard of, because who had been reading through the from the Dark Ages, the medieval time? Who were the only ones who could read the Scripture? Priests, because they're the only ones trained. But then we see it gets in the language of the people. You know, finally, you know, 1611, what happened? King James version of the Bible. And you talk about getting it into the vernacular of the people. That was a far cry from the Latin. But even the Latin text was... a change from the original Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. But the Scripture goes into the language of the people. But they wanted to stop the Reformation from going. You see these wars that began between people. One of the groups that really got persecuted was a group called the Anabaptists that you would probably never hear of in history, because they're just like a footnote. But they were at the root of carrying that Reformation so that everything could be reformed. Many things reformed in the church, but some things did not. Can't get into that list today. But I want you to see that there was even suffering there that took place as persecution began of those, you know, they felt like the Reformation's gone this far, we're going to stop it. We're going to stop it here. We don't want to change the rest of this, because, man, that could be radical. That would just change everything. And that's what God was about. And so even persecution came for those who were doing the right thing. Suffering. Now, if you go back in history, you go back to the Roman emperors, as Christianity is beginning to grow, what were some of the things that the Roman emperors did to people about their faith? They're crucified, lions, and all sorts of animals. They were torn apart. Who was it? Was it Diocletian that put them on poles and tarred them and put them in his garden so he could see his roses at night as they burned them alive? Okay, you get the idea. Suffering. And I want you to see through history that suffering has come. And oftentimes, part of that suffering has come through religious people. Have you looked at some of the global suffering that is going on, famines, floods, and asked the question, why? Have you looked at some of the tragedy that goes on and asked the question, why? Is suffering personal? It's always personal. Here are a few reasons that I would give you for the suffering that is in the world. Where did it begin? What is the genesis? Give me a clue. What is the genesis of suffering? There you have it. Right in Genesis, as we spoke several weeks ago, all our major doctrines are right there in Genesis. Have their foundation there. But that's consistent with all the other 65 books of the Bible, as they do not contradict one another. They verify and validate one another. There it is. What did the picture look like for man before the fall? What kind of life did he have? No sickness, no death, no sin, no worry. Absolutely perfect. Perfect harmony with him. I love that picture of God, you know, that I've just imagined, you know, walking through the garden with them. They were together. There was oneness. You know, is that oneness spoken of in the New Testament? Is there a place where Jesus speaks of it? Where? His high priestly prayer. Actually, you know, if you were going to call something the Lord's Prayer, that would probably be a better name for that prayer. We call it his high priestly prayer. But here is his prayer. So what are some of the statements that are made in that prayer? One as we are one. We who? God the Son and God the Father and God the Spirit, that there's oneness. And by the time he gets through with all those statements about oneness, you've just got one piece. And imagine, that's how it was with them. But what enters in? Sin. And with sin comes what? Death. And suffering. Suffering. Do we see results from the fall today? What results do you see in creation today, the results of the fall? Follow me here now. Follow me. Don't get lazy. Famine. Why is famine the result of the fall? Toil of the ground. Yeah, that's part of the as he left. Sin leaves its mark on everything. What other way? Abortion? Turned upside down. You know, I want to point you back to this statement. You know, we're not being simplistic. We're being simple. There's a difference in those two concepts. Simplistic, you're bamboozling somebody. you're reorienting the facts so to make something that is like this, where if you're showing that it's simple, you're looking at the whole and you're putting all the pieces together so that it fits and you see an answer to this question right here. Now, I can't give you specific answers about suffering, but I know where it came from, and you do too. It entered into in the fall and the results of that. Now, let me ask you this question. Do the choices of one generation affect the next generation? How so? Give me an example. Boy, you got real and personal right there. Tick, 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 tick. Did everybody hear that? National debt? It changed. Now, if we believe, and I do, that when you open a door to the evil one, that door is going to stay open until it is shut by those to whom it has been given authority to shut it. Let me give you an example of that. Something we pray and something we preach all the time. We can pray for a family. We can pray that God will come and have all sorts of revelation about what God is going to do in that family. But until that family, and as I believe, under the headship, as God shows that headship in the home, until they shut the door to evil, what's going to continue to happen? That door is still open because God has given to us as humans a precious gift, the prerogative of choice. That's part of being human. It is a wonderful and at the same time a dangerous gift, is it not? Have you struggled with God about choices that people make in your life, people that are dear to you? Have you wanted to do this? By the way, what am I doing with this? I'm manipulating, but what's the picture here? Yeah, the marionettes. Pull those strings. You get the note home from about your child misbehaving in class about it. And what do you want to do? None of y'all have ever had that experience, I know. I've offered to go to school with my children. I'm going to be watching through the window to make sure that you behave and do what you're supposed to. When it lasts, what has God given to each person? Choice. Choice. A child sees a sign that says, "Do not." And you fill in the blank. What are some of the do nots? Huh? Oh, we're getting to that. Don't get ahead of me. Do not. There you go. Do not. Do not. Do not. Do not. Do not. Do not. I mean, I remember it. My grandparents, next door neighbors, they had that sign out there, do not walk on the grass. Guess what we did? We made our own skateboards back then. We took the, I never learned how to skate very well, busted my fanny every time, but boy, I could ride a skateboard. And we made them, this was before they were being produced commercially. Take the skates apart, nail them to each end of a 2x4. And boy, my grandparents had the most beautiful place, a little L-shaped porch. And we'd ride, well, there was some azaleas right here, and that patch of grass was right there. That lady sat right there smoking all day watching that grass. Watching that grass. She had that contralto voice that came from that, yeah. That's right. There you go. Say it right there.
Get off my grass.
That's right. That's exactly how she said it. That's exactly how she said it. And we had creative ways. You know, oh, I fell off the skateboard, and we'd be turning the corner, and we could jump across the azaleas and land on that grass to make it look like it was an accident. But within us, there was this spirit. That was the spirit. Where'd that come from? Came from the fall. And I discovered that I was a sinner. By nature and by choice. Both and. My parents, Tina, back to your point, had brought me into this world. They were the ones God used to bring me into this world. And what was I born into? Did anybody have to teach me how to sin? It was my natural language. It was my natural way because I was born into it. Now, I want you, I spent a good bit of time on that, but I want you to see that the root of that suffering that is in the world today, that we experience the results of all of those things in our lives. It came from the fall. A fallen world. We can trace some sin directly to the sin of previous generation in our lives. But there are other sin, and Jesus gave an example of that when he looks at the lame man and his disciples ask him the question. Remember the question? Did this man sin or was it his parents? And what was Jesus' answer to that? You remember? Neither. It was for what? That his glory would be shining. I know this is a loose translation of that. But there, if you want to trace things back, That comes from the fall. And what would Jesus, through his power, his coming to the earth, what was it all about? Forgiveness. And putting it right. And see, when he came the first time, he sets up his kingdom. Yeah, he did set up his kingdom, but he set it up in our hearts. That's the first time he came. When he comes back the second time, where's he setting up his kingdom? And what is he going to put right? It isn't just going to be our hearts. What's he going to put right? Everything that the fall, that the entering of sin, and everything that went wrong is now going to be made right as he sets up his kingdom on this earth. And he shows it. It's very helpful to look at the larger picture when it comes to suffering. Now, I know an obvious question is, why is it that God will relieve suffering here, but he doesn't relieve it here? Even understanding all that's gone before, posing that question. Do you have an answer to that? Well, here's my standard answer to that. God, I'm going to write it down for you. I want you to record this. I want you to record this because this is a news flash right now. Here is the reason that God does this here and he doesn't do this here. He's God. Now let me quiz you one more here, a little bit farther. Does that mean that we've got to understand everything? Well, let's take it a tad further. Were the things now that at the age you're at today that you understand and you're able to answer a question why that as a much younger person you didn't know? Anybody? Everybody's hand ought to be up. Because if your hand's not up, that means you haven't learned jack squat since you began on this earth and began your relationship with Jesus. He's bringing you closer to him. You see, it all gets back to a relationship with him. Here's some things that suffering, some good that can come from suffering. Psalm 69:29. I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. God works through suffering. We see his presence, do we not? Have you seen God's presence in suffering? Some of the most real times where I've seen the presence of God in my mother in the 58, almost 59 years that I've known her has been in this time of her suffering. The realness of her faith, the validity of it. God uses suffering for his good purposes. 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it's strong and pure. God's grace is shown through suffering. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. God will show his grace through suffering. That great quote from Job 42:5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. God shows himself through suffering. I want to encourage you to do something today. Instead of letting suffering be a distraction to you. Because what does suffering generally do? The event of suffering, it will do one of two things. What two things am I speaking of? Say it out loud, Joel. It'll either drive you away, you'll allow it. It's what you choose to do with it. It'll either drive you away from Him or drive you into His presence. But does God show up in suffering? That's the point. He is with us. Because what, when we don't see Him in the suffering, what does that mean we're choosing to do? We're being blinded by a circumstance and not seeing what He wants to do through it in our lives. Now we as Western Christians, we have more trouble with this. Now it's getting more and more not to be that case, but we've struggled with this more recently. But our brothers and sisters that live around the planet, other countries, they're living with this every day. They're seeing suffering. And when you see the purity of the faith that comes through suffering, I encourage you to, if you've never read any of Watchman Nee, I'd encourage you. His little devotional book is great, Table in the Wilderness. It is absolutely wonderful. But reading his testimony and seeing how he suffered, and how God took him through that. I hope today you've been encouraged as we've spoken honestly about a very difficult subject. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. We pray that all the scriptures that we've read, Lord, all the things that you've been speaking to us that were not spoken out loud today, Lord, you'll refine that fire today in us. Lord, burn away all the junk in our lives and let us see you. In Jesus' name, amen.